You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
I'll give God a bigger hand clap for the text and the topic. The main characters in Daniel 3 are three young men that the scripture says are named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, when you consider scripture and these three young men, they possessed two traits that are still noteworthy and significant today. Just in these lives of these young men, they had a number of qualities that we should admire, but we should also apply what we learn about them to our life. And what I love about it is something that will help young people in our day and time. But it's not just for young people, it's for adults as well. And what I want to do is I want to look at these two traits and I want to teach them. But again, it's important for us not just to be hearers, but also to be doers. Notice, if you will, in Daniel 1, and let's start at verse 6. And we'll look at verse 7 as well. What we're going to see in these two verses is that, number one, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is not their real name. Those were names given to them by the king. He renamed them. So let's notice Daniel 1, 6, and 7. Y'all with me? Now, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael or Michael, and Azariah. So their real names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 7, to them the chief of the eunuchs, who was under the king's authority, gave names, and he gave to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, help me, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. So here the eunuch who was under authority of the king took these three young men and changed their name or their identity. Now, when you look at their original names, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, those names had characters, traits that represented Jehovah, a God. The new slave names, those names represented the false god who the king worshiped. But what's so noteworthy when you read about Daniel and his companions, y'all still with me? That they upheld their God-given identity. Even though the king plotted to change their name and their character, these young men upheld who God said they were. They did not live up to the character nor the expectation of what the king placed upon them. No, they were mindful of who God said they are or who they were. And that's how they thought That's how they talked, and that's how they behaved. And because there's nothing new under the sun, the enemy and the world is still seeking whom he can devour. He's still trying to corrupt the godly identity of God's young men and young women. He's still trying to pervert how you think about yourself, how you talk, and how you act. But like these three young men plus Daniel, we need to hold on to our godly identity. I don't care who we get around, we shouldn't let anybody change us for the worse. I don't care who you hang out with. You've got to make sure, you've got to be purposeful that you don't allow people that you associate with to cause you to act contrary to the will of God. You and I have got to uphold our godly identity. It doesn't matter what celebrities, rappers, and others are doing. We've got to remember who we are. And what I love about verse 6, notice I've highlighted it, that they were the sons of Judah. I said they were the sons of Judah. And even though we're not from Judah, spiritually or figuratively speaking, likewise, we are too the sons of Judah. We need to remember that we are people of praise. Yeah, we are people that should be known for having lifestyles that glorify God. For Jesus taught, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify God. When people hear how you talk, see how you act, God should be getting the glory. When you go places with folk, you should set the trend and not blend in. You got to uphold your godly identity. You don't meet somebody that's fine and cute and then you switch up. No, you be who God has chosen you to be, even though somebody may be attracted to you. I don't care how many thugs or roughnecks you hang around. You are not a thug, brother. You are a young man of valor according to the word. Oh, look how y'all looking at me now. I'm not going to treat you like you're of the world. I'm going to call you a man of God. I'm going to call you a woman of God because that's what the Bible says about you. You've got to remember who you are. Because this world and even your flesh will try to change who God wants you to be. You need to be known for praising God as a young man. You need to be known as a young man that'll pull them britches up so nobody can see your drawers. If you want to sag your drawers, do it in the comforts of your own home. But when you leave God's house, you got to remember, I am a young man of God. Now look how y'all looking at me. Yeah. Tell somebody, say, remember who you are. Yeah, remember who you are. Now, figuratively, young people, the sons of Judah is synonymous with being the church. These young men were a part of the body. Likewise, we are a part of the body of Christ. If I'm saved, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I am a part of the church. I've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. I've got to remember that I am the church. God is sanctifying me. I'm going to have some flaws, but I'm striving to mature in those areas. How many in here know you're saved, but you're not flawless? But this is the key. We strive to perfect ourselves. We strive to get better every day. You told three lies, well, you repent, and now you're striving to do better when it comes to telling lies. Oh, you demonstrated an ungodly attitude. You repent and you see your fault. Now you're striving not to demonstrate that ungodly attitude anymore. Anybody in here, am I talking to anybody? Yeah, I'm the church. And you can't forget that. You can't forget that. Throughout the week, wherever God allows you to be, you got to take pride in being sanctified. You got to take pride and be happy that you are saved. Woo, anybody in here glad to be saved? Yeah. And so you don't put that light out when you get around your peers. You and I have to uphold our godly identity and remember who we are. You can't forget it. These boys, when you read about them, they were taken from their home country and taken to another country. Against their will, enslaved. They changed their diet or tried to change their diet, tried to change their God. But these boys had fortitude. No, you ain't gonna change me. I know who I am. I know how I've been raised, and I'm gonna conduct myself accordingly. I think that is so noteworthy and amazing. We ought to give these three young men a hand clap for being some good examples for us to follow. Y'all ain't clapping like y'all happy about it. Woo, I thank God for these young brothers. The second trait, when you consider these three young men, is what I really want to deal with. They possessed a focused mind. These young men were not weak-minded. These young men were not easily manipulated. They were focused in how they thought. They had a will, a determination that I feel was just remarkable. They had a focused mind. Now, I've given you probably four or five definitions over the last couple of weeks on what it means to be focused. But this morning, I want you to remember two. When we are focused, it says, first of all, that we refuse to allow something or someone to control our thoughts. I'm not going to allow something or somebody that's not connected to God to control my thoughts. Have you ever allowed something or somebody to control your thoughts? That was a question. Yeah. And if you give that much place, man, that can just take your mind over. Things that you should be focused on, they become blurry and non-essential. You can't allow what people think about you to control your mindset. You can't allow how people look at you to control your mindset. What you go through in life should not control our mindset. What happens to you, especially if it's negative, should not define you or control your mindset. No. God has given us as young men and young women the capacity to control how we think and what we think on. And though we are young, we can have a strong mind. We can have a sober mind. But when God looks down on us, some of us, if the truth be told, we're a little weak-minded. Yeah, the muscles of our mind need to be strengthened. Because something can come in your mind and just wreck your day or wreck your week. Some of us think on stuff we shouldn't be thinking on for two, for too long. It's time to get mentally tough. I said it's time to get mentally tough. And these are some great examples to learn from. Secondly, when a person is focused, look at this. It says that their thoughts or their mindset is fixed on a good conclusion. You're just not thinking about how something is going to turn out. Your mindset, when it's focused, you have the mindset, my conclusion is going to be good. You'd be surprised of the people in this sanctuary, young and adults, that are pessimistic, negative. They believe in luck. Well, if I'm lucky. No. When a person is focused, they have their mind fixed on a good conclusion. You know what? This is tough, but it's going to work out for my good. I don't know how this is going to end in totality, but I know that my ending is going to be better than my beginning. You and I got to be positive. You and I have to be hopeful. And the only way to be like that is we have to have a focused mind. And see, when a young person or an adult has the mind of Christ, they got their mind on a good conclusion. They got their mind on things working out. They got their mind on what the Bible says and not what situations or what people say. You got to get a good conclusion about what you're going through. You got to get a good conclusion. I'm going to have the money. God going to make sure my needs are met. That sounds like a good what? Conclusion. I'm hurting in my body, but healing is mine. I'm not going to be like this always. Yeah, I'm not going to be struggling always. This is just a part of the process. Folks are not going to be against me. I'm going to have some folk that are for me. And if I got at least one person for me, it's my God. You got to have a mindset that's focused on a good conclusion. Man, I failed, but I'm going to pass. Yeah, my grade done dipped a little bit, but it's coming back up. I'm focused on a good conclusion. Who ever been guilty of being negative? You got that mindset where you just say, I don't know. What you mean you don't know? You're supposed to be knowing. I don't really care. You're supposed to care. Well, if it do, it do. If it don't, it don't. You ain't focused. You up and down. I'm going to do better. No, I ain't. I can't do this. Just me. This is just how I am. You ain't got no fixed mindset on a good conclusion. You need to be saying, I'm going to get better at this. Yeah. This is not going to get the best of me. And so when a person is focused, again, they refuse to allow anything or anybody to do what? Control their mind. You think for yourself. But then secondly, we have our mind fixed on what kind of conclusion? A good conclusion. Now, I want you to understand, we read the story of the three Hebrew boys like it was just not a real situation. These three young men were dealing with one of the most wicked, perverted, arrogant, and violent kings in history. When you take your time and read just Daniel 1, 2, and 3, matter of fact, 4, 5, and 6, it covers two kings, King Darius as well as King Nebuchadnezzar. But when you read about King Nebuchadnezzar, this man was wicked. He served multiple gods. This man was perverted. This man liked little boys. Yeah. Read chapter 1. What grown man will go and overtake a country, but then take all the boys to come serve at his palace. You didn't read about no young women. At least King David, they went and got girls to keep him warm. King Nebuchadnezzar said, go bring me all these young men that can stand. Listen, the Bible says, in my palace. I'm going to give them some wine to drink. What grown man wants some intoxicated young boys around them? He will pervert it. He was arrogant. But what I really want to deal with and paint this picture, this man was violent. I mean, one of the most violent kings, according to scripture, in history. This man was known for not just for killing folk, but this man was known for cutting folk limbs off and then turning around and burning their house down. The Bible say all the way to ashes. So it's not enough that you kill me and cut me up, but then you go and burn my house to where my family ain't got nothing. And he was into public displays of death. He would do it in front of folk. He was just rough. Look at somebody say he was a mess. Yeah. And so this is who these three young men were dealing with. If you didn't do what he said, he was going to burn you alive. I said he was going to do what? This man had a furnace set aside for burning folk. A fiery furnace. He told them, if y'all don't bow down when you hear this music, I'm throwing you in the fiery furnace. When they denied him, check this out, young folk. He said, turn the fire up 7 times hotter. Now, based on my research, in our day and time, in order to incinerate a body, fire needs to be around about 1,400 degrees to maybe 2,500 degrees. So let's just say 1,500. 1,500 degrees to burn a body. Depending on the height and weight of the body, it could take anywhere from an hour to 5 hours for a body to totally be burnt down to the bone. This man said, turn it up 7 times. So we're talking about almost 8,000-9,000 degrees. It was so hot that when they bound the Hebrew boys to throw them in, the folk that took them wasn't even in the fire. They got close to the fire and they got burnt up. That's how hot it was. Now, a few years ago, we had a bonfire out here. Yeah, over in the parking lot. It probably wasn't nothing but 200 degrees. Maybe 450. You know how we is, 450. Man, I couldn't even stand this close to that fire. Matter of fact, I had on thermals, jackets, and a coat, and a hat. I came out of all of that. That's how hot it was. Could you imagine almost 9,000 degrees? Throw them in now. Throw them in. This is what they were dealing with. Their mind had to be focused. We can feel that heat. And we see these men burnt up before us, but we still ain't gonna bow down. That's a focused mind. Be honest. How many would have probably changed your mind? Just be honest. You getting the feeling that heat, seeing folk burnt up before you? Well, the Lord know my heart. And you. That's hot. That's hot. The Bible says it was so hot, them men burnt up. But once they got thrown in the fire and taken out, this is the power of a focused mind, that their clothes did not smell like smoke. Their skin was not singed or burnt. They were untouched. God divinely protected them because they had a mind like Christ. They were focused on the things of God, and God took care of them. But not only did God take care of them, young people, God turned around and blessed them. What is that saying to us? If our mind is focused, if we have the mind of Christ on whatever it is that we go through in life, God is going to protect us, and God is going to prosper us. God is going to make sure our needs are met. God is going to make sure healing is ours. God is going to make sure things work out together for our good. We just have to stay focused and have the mind of Christ and not be moved by what we go through. Because we're going to go through some things that's fiery in this life. We're going to go through some things that's going to try our mind. Are y'all still with me? And so what the Lord is trying to teach us, look, I need you to be focused this year like never before. In times past, things done came at you, you done been tempted, and your mind wasn't in the place it needed to be. And you was thinking, talking, and acting out of the will of God. But this the year. This the year, you got to get your mind right. Look at somebody say, this the year, I got to get my mind right. Yeah. I get my mind right. This is so important. And so what I want to do is I want to look at three things a Christ-like mind is focused on. We're going to look at these two verses in Daniel 3, and it's going to reveal if we have the mind of Christ, this is what we need to be focused on. Because too many young people and young adults are losing focus. Come to church, but really ain't focused the way they should be focused. Woo, look how y'all looking now. So let's go to Daniel 3. Let's go to Daniel 3, and let's look at the first thing we need to be focused on. Daniel 3, 16 and 17. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, look at this, we have no need to answer you in this matter. We have no need to do what? Answer you in this matter. The first thing they were focused on was unity. Notice the text says we. They was all on the same page. That's how the church should be. We should be together. We're different members, but a part of the same body. We need to be focused on being one, being unified or together. How can those walk together except they be in agreement? We got to be together. We got to agree, young people, on what the Bible says, first of all. Now, you may not like the Falcons. I may like the Falcons. That ain't what I'm talking about being agreed on. Yeah, you may like the Lakers. I may like the Hawks. That don't need to divide us because that don't really matter. Am I right about it? You may not can stand UGA, but I may like UGA. We don't need to let that divide us. You may like light-skinned girls. I like dark-skinned. Okay, that's fine. We don't need to let that divide because that really don't matter. That's minor stuff. Those are personal opinions. You like Jordans. I like Adidas. I'm not going to let that divide us. No. I got a bald head. You got braids. That stuff don't matter. But when we talk about prayer, if you don't believe prayer works and we need to pray every day, we need to have a meeting. Yeah, because we need to be on the same Same pain. I believe in praising God. I believe in making a joyful noise. I believe in dancing. I believe in singing. I may not can do my two-step like the praise team, but I can do a one-step. We on the same page. Yeah, when it comes to the word, young folk, we need to be on the same page. I love going to church, especially going to God's church. When the doors are open, I'm like David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, if you one of these saints, you can't stand coming to church. You dread coming to church. We are not on the same page. I'm looking for somebody that enjoys the same things according to the word of God. I take my duty seriously. You should take your duty seriously. We need to be unified. Why, Pastor? Because if we are unified, there are some good and pleasant things that's going to take place at the MSW. Woo! Look at somebody and say, we want good and pleasant at the MSW. That's right. We need to all believe in pressing our way. You're going to have days to where you hurting. You're going to have days to where you may have a sinus headache. Your neck, your back may hurt. But you need to have the mindset, I'm pressing my way. I'm going to go to church even if I have to sit in the back row. But I'm going to be there because I'm pressing my way. Pastor presses his way. I'm going to press my way. We are unified. We on the same page. But we got differences. Right? You may be a quiet person. I may like to talk. But when it comes to praise, we got to be on the what? Same page. You got to put away that being shy. You got to be ready to say words like hallelujah and say it real loud. You got to be ready to say glory be to God. And you got to be ready to say it real loud. Matter of fact, let's practice. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout glory be to God. Look at somebody and shout, it's in the book. See, we got to be on the same page. There's power in unity. Look, one day your peers, somebody on your row may come in the church going through. But if they come and sit on the row where there's some unity at, some good and pleasant things can happen on that row. And see, I don't just want a blessing for me. I want everybody to be blessed. I want the corporate blessing. I don't want to be the only one with a testimony about giving. So you need to unify with me in giving. Woo, look at somebody say, he talking right. And I love the text. Look at the text real closely. And they were on the same what? Same page. They were focused on being together. We. All the armor bearers making sure, hey, we on the same page. We on the same page today. Nobody sleeping. Nobody not paying attention. We here to serve. We on the same what? Same page. Musicians making sure they on the what? Same page. Get in note. Get in key. We all are together. Sound room, video room, want to make sure they are unified. All right, we got to make sure this is set up right. We got to make sure ain't no bottles of water back here. We all on the same what? Same page. I long for the day where everybody on the same page and bring a Bible. Boy, I long for that day I can look out and see everybody with a Bible. Woo, I long for that day. Yeah, I know we use our phones, but I long for the day to where everybody got their own app or their own phone in the church. Boy, look how y'all looking now. Y'all mad at the pastor? We talking about unity. Somebody shout, we. Yeah, we. And that's what we need to be focused on. We. Great pattern for us to follow. Let's go to number two. Let's go to verse 17. And it reads, if this is the case, our God, there go that word, whom we serve is able to what? Deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Let's deal with that first clause. Our God, whom we serve, is able to what? He's able to? Deliver who? Us. These young men, their mind was focused on deliverance and not death. Their mind was focused on deliverance and not death. Remember, I told you they could see the fire. They could feel the heat. But according to this verse, they weren't focused on dying. They were focused on being what? Delivered. Y'all ain't saying. They weren't focused on dying. They were focused on being delivered. In your fire, whatever it is that you are going through, you need to be focused on deliverance. Don't be focused on them coming to take you. Don't be focused on you failing. Don't be focused on something negative happening. Focus on deliverance. Focus on God blessing you in the midst of what you're going through. Focus on God taking care of you in the midst of what it is that you're going through. Because the Bible says we are not to walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And these boys weren't even talking death. They were talking deliverance. How are you talking in the midst of what you're going through? How are you talking? Is it deliverance talk or is it death talk? And when you and I have the mind of Christ, we're going to talk some deliverance talk. Oh, my God. Y'all done got quiet, so that let me know some of us ain't been talking deliverance talk. Or you ain't been thinking deliverance thinking. You've been on that dead stuff. You need to let dead stuff go. Leave dead stuff alone. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But sometimes, young people, what you go through can seem more real than the deliverance of God. But remember what the Lord spoke to us last year through Bishop? The unseen is more powerful than the seen. I reiterated it up here. Yeah, I said the unseen is more powerful than the seen. Could they see deliverance, naturally speaking, at the time? No, but they still saw it. You got to see the promises of God even though you naturally can't see it. Are y'all still with me? Let me show you some things about deliverance. I got about 11 minutes. Y'all come on. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 17. Tell yourself, see, I got to focus on deliverance and not death. I got to focus on deliverance and not death. 1 Samuel 17, 37. 1 Samuel 17 and 37. Now, this is David, but look at what he said. Moreover, David said, the Lord God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the, help me, bear, he will deliver me. He talking deliverance talk. He thinking deliverance. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Let's stop right there. What I want you to understand in this verse about deliverance, young people, is that you've got to have the mindset that if he has delivered me before, he can deliver me and will deliver me again. That's deliverance talk. If he delivered me then, he can do it again. If he delivered me back then, he can do it again. You ought to tell yourself, if he did it back then, he can do it again. If he blessed you with money then, he can bless you again. If he healed you back then, he can heal you again. If he led you to the place to get a job back then, he can lead you to a place to get a job again. again. Tell somebody that's deliverance talk. If he told you what to do then, he can tell you what to do again. It may not manifest yet. It may not be happening yet. But your mindset is if he delivered then, he can deliver again. And God told me to tell you he gonna do it again. We serve a God that can do it again. That's how he told me to tell it. He's going to do it again. But you got to have the mindset. You got to be focused. If he blessed you to pay off a car back then, he can bless you to pay off a car again. Woo, y'all ain't getting excited about it. David was able to look in his life and see how God had done some small things. And he said, if he blessed me in these areas here, he can bless me in this area that I have never experienced before. And that's got to be your mindset. That's got to be your focus. He helped me with the seizures then. He'll help me with the seizures again. Oh, my God. I said, if he healed me of a fever and a headache or the Rona back then he can heal me of the fever, the headache, and Rona again. Yeah, it doesn't matter. God, young people, takes us through life, and we have various experiences. And so we have to remember what he did in times past. Because if he did it back then, he'll do it, help me, again. And you need to talk that to yourself. He gonna do it again. He gonna deliver me again. Doggone it, he gonna deliver me. Yeah, I preach to myself like that. Baker, he gonna do it again. Y'all ought to help me grit them teeth and say, he gonna do it again. He gonna do it again. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 11. Again, we're looking at deliverance. Proverbs 11 and 6. The righteousness of the upright, oh Lord, will what? Deliver them. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them? You mean God will deliver me just because I'm living right? Just because I'm living by faith, he done promised he'll deliver me. And so when you're dealing with the hardships of life as a young person, living right pays off. I said, living right pays off. David said, I've been young, I've been old, but I never seen the righteous folk that live by the word. I've never seen them forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. Living right will cause you to get delivered. And that needs to be your focus or your mindset. When you get in trouble, you know what? I'm living right. I'm tithing. I'm giving. I'm thinking, talking, and doing right. And when I mess up, I get that right. God, you're going to deliver me. Yeah, that's the mind of Christ. That's where we focus. Lord, I don't like this season in my life, but you're going to deliver me. I'm going to go through this the right way, and you're going to bring me out. You're going to take care of the righteous. You're going to take care of your servant. You're going to take care of your anointed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You're going to take care of me. That's that deliverance mindset. Right? And they knew in their mind that God would deliver them. Because they were righteous. God, you're going to deliver me. And it took me some time to get that mindset, young people. It took me some time, to be honest. I could quote the scripture, but I had to really understand, God, you really do care for me. You really do care for me. Lord, you get pleasure in my prosperity. Yeah, you don't want me to be the tail. Lord, you want me to be the head. Now, you'll let me experience being the tail, but I need to know, I need to learn how to carry myself when I'm low. I need to know how to act when I'm low. So when I get exalted, I know how to act. See, some folk always talk that, well, I'm gonna do it when I get it. No, you gotta know how to act right when you're low. Yeah, you got to know how to walk around like $1 million when you are 2 months late on your bills. You got to walk around and know that you're healed when you got pain all in your body. When you can't put your finger on what's going on, you still got to walk around like your strength has been renewed as an eagle. Yeah. But you can only do that, young people, when you have the mind of Christ and it's focused on deliverance. And I have been guilty of going through things in life, but my focus was on a whole bunch of deadness. Second thing, Daniel 3:17, the rest of the verse, or the third thing, shall I say. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. Now notice, they went to talking, first of all, that he's able to deliver. Then they flipped it and said, you know what? He will. So they were talking deliverance, but then they started talking assurance. Yeah, he gonna do it. What do you call that? Faith. They were making sure that they were walking by faith. And young people, that's what you and I have to do. We got to make sure that we're walking by faith in the midst of what we're going through. I got to make sure that I'm thinking, talking, and acting by faith. Why, Pastor? Because faith is what pleases God. You got to talk. He going to supply the need. Either he going to tell me what to do, tell me who to go to, or he going to do something miraculous. But he going to supply? He going to supply the need. My body is already healed. I just got to deal with this pain. It's already healed. The Bible says, by his stripes I was healed. You were healed. I'm already healed. I'm already healed. I'm just dealing with the pain in this physical realm. But faith realm says I'm already healed. Is this over y'all head? Is this too much for y'all? Faith says you putting the money on the altar, God, you're going to cause me and give it to my bosom. I don't know when you're going to do it, but I'm obeying your word, and you're going to cause me, and according to Luke 6:38, and you sitting there got 15 cents in your pocket and $2 on your cash out. But you putting God's tithes and offering on that altar, speaking by faith. You going to cause me into giving to my boss. I don't know if I'm going to get a bonus on the job. I don't know if I'm going to get a tax refund. I don't know if I'm going to find some money. I don't know what you going to do, Lord, but you going to supply my need. That's got to be your mindset. That's a faith mindset. That's a focused mindset. And you can't do like I used to do, young people. When I was immature, I used to try to find things to keep my mind off of what I was going through. But I had to learn, look, I got to keep my mind on the word. In the midst of what I'm going through, I got to get the word. I got to meditate on the word. I got to think on the word. I got to confess the word. I got to grab verses that are talking about my situation. And I got to get them in my heart. I got to take what I heard from my man of God, and I got to believe it, because if I believe the prophet, I'm going to prosper. Lord, I heard what the preacher said. You're going to do it again. I'm speaking in my life. You're going to deliver me again. I don't know if it's going to be today or in 2 months, but I heard what the prophet said, and I believe it. That's walking by faith. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, you got to speak to the mountain. Speak to your situation, young people. That's faith. You got to get your bills, line them up when you're dealing with lack, and speak to them. You're paid in the name of Jesus. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I speak to you in the name of Jesus. You are paid. I'm not telling you something that I haven't done and do. Speak to them. Speak to that mountain. Look at that part of your body. Lay hands on your own self. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said I could lay hands on the sick. I lay hands on my neck right now. that's been hurting. Lord, I lay hands on it and I am healed in the name of Jesus. All along, you got to turn like this. Why are you talking? But I'm in the realm of faith. And that's where them boys was at. They were seeing the fire, feeling the heat, but they were still living by faith. Where do you need to apply your faith, young folk? Are you focused on faith in your life? See, the world do all this talking about vision boards and all that. Get the Bible. Get Habakkuk 3, where the Bible says, write the vision, make it plain, so when you read it, you can run with it. See, the world will take what God said and try to get you all excited about it. You don't even realize that's Bible. And so you have to do that because it works. That's walking by faith. That's saying my mind is focused. This is going to come to pass. You got to take your phone, young people, and use it for more than just social media and entertainment. You got to learn how to put your scriptures on notepad. You got to learn how to wake up every day and just read them verses and speak to yourself. This is going to happen to me. When you're focused and have a mind like Christ, you do stuff like that. You hear the word and that one or two points that really spoke to you, you hold on to that and you keep that in your mind throughout the week because you're staying in the realm of faith. You're staying in the realm of faith. And we know faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the word of God. And that's what these young boys were focused on. When you and I have the mind of Christ, we're going to be focused on these as well. Unity, making sure we all on the same page. Pastor got to make sure he on the page of God, and then the people of God make sure they're on the page with the pastor. And that's what we're doing. We having the same mind. Yeah, we different. We like different things. You like Marvel. I may not. That's okay. But we on the same page. When we see one another in the street, we speak. Yeah, when we have issues with one another, we resolve them. We got to stay on the same what? We don't want to be a house divided. We're thinking about deliverance and not death. When your friends at school, at work come to you with their problems, you a source of light. You tell them, man, God can deliver you. You know Jesus? He can bring you out. I'm going to pray for you. Matter of fact, let's pray right now. But then when you go through fiery trials, you think in deliverance and not what? And not death. And finally, you stand in the realm of faith. You're not going to let anything get your mind off of what you heard at church or what's written in God's word. That's where you're focused. You're focused on walking by faith. How many understand that we got to have a focused mind? And we understand how to and what we should focus on if we have the mind of Christ from the teaching. By a show of hands, how many got the understanding? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for teaching.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.